Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition, everyone, of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus. Happy Friday to all. Happy government shutdown eve, if in fact that happens by the end of the day today. We'll talk about the government shutdown possibility in just a moment. But, Jim, just a couple of days ago, we were wringing our hands a little bit because, while we were encouraged by the fact that Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser had done much better than a lot of people expected in his race against Democrat Joanne Kloppenburg, in a race that was seen as a referendum on Scott Walker, it looked as though he was going to fall short. Never mind.
10,859 votes went for Justice David Prosser, and 3,456 went for Joanne Kloppenburg.
That is Waukesha County, Wisconsin Clerk Kathy Nicholas updating totals from the suburb of Brookfield, Wisconsin. And as you can learn from those numbers, it clearly leans to the right. And basically, it's a 7,000-vote pickup for Prosser, who was only down before that by a couple hundred. So it looks like he's clearly in the driver's seat here. And of course, as you might imagine, the losing side now, the Democratic side, protesting greatly. But Nicholas explaining that this is not any sort of political chicanery.
It is important to stress that this is not a case of extra votes or extra ballots being found. This is human error, which I apologize for.
And before the liberals can make her into the next Catherine Harris, there are other Democrats on the canvassing board saying, yes, there were discrepancies between the official vote totals and the records of the number of people who had voted, and now those numbers are lined up, so there is no political fraud here. Yay for Scott Walker. Yay for Judge Prosser, because he could be the deciding vote if this issue gets to the Supreme Court. And Jim, good day for conservatives when it didn't look a few days ago like this was possible.
You know, Greg, I'm right now holding up my copy of the Chicago Tribune. It says Kloppenburg defeats Truman. And Truman's pretty happy about that one, too. You know, this is so unexpected, Greg. I wrote about this in the Morning Jolt this morning. Aren't you just kind of expecting some worker in Milwaukee to say, oh, I found 8,000 votes in my trunk?
Lo
and behold, they're all for Kloppenburg. I mean, we've seen this story so many times. So many conservatives, when we saw the late, very close finish Tuesday night, were saying, it's not outside the margin of fraud.
Right.
They'll invent the votes. They'll find the votes. We never win these things when it's close and it goes down to recounts. 7,000 votes is a lot. I mean, this doesn't guarantee it, but you would probably need some sort of epic thing that undoubtedly would cause a great deal of suspicion. The fact that local Democrats are coming forward and saying, no, we see nothing funny about this. This is all on the up and up. It's pretty stunning just for our psychology that we just kind of had figured, it's good that they came close, but this shows the lefties really are resurgent. They really have the energy. Greg, now we can look at this and say, look, with the unions in a almost literal life and death struggle, the unions were convinced that if they could win this judicial race, they could save themselves as the dominant political force in the state, and they can't. Greg, I mean, this is a huge, huge deal. And the fact that it comes, 48 hours after we were all convinced that, it was going to go the other way, just stunning. It feels like a dream. Greg, don't pinch me. I don't want to wake up. And just don't pinch me, period.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb I like to follow day to day as well, regardless of the topic at hand. A good tweet this morning that I saw, Jim, from Steve Hayes of the Weekly Standard and Fox News. And he says, when it appeared that Kloppenburg had won, this was a clear repudiation of Scott Walker. So is this now a clear affirmation of Scott Walker by the voters of Wisconsin? It would seem to be, given, like you mentioned, all the firepower the unions put out there, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting. I think Mary Catherine Hammond said it. Look, this is the dramatic news. A local election that once had national implications is suddenly not reflective of any grander narrative at all. And it's not really something, conservatives should not walk away from this election feeling unbelievably confident and relaxed. I mean, clearly we know heading into all the major elections this cycle, the lefties are going to be motivated and they're going to come out in big numbers. But if they can't do it in Wisconsin, which most people would have characterized at least light blue, and up until the midterm elections of last year looking pretty darn blue, Wisconsin looks purple now. Winnable for Republicans. Not easy. Not something we should chalk in the Republican pile in 2012. But certainly now ripe for the picking, you could say. and a very exciting prospect for Republicans who, you know, want to get to that 270 in the Electoral College.
On to an even larger fiscal debate now, and that's the looming government shutdown here in Washington. Jim, we foreshadowed it yesterday, and then it came to be. The House of Representatives, as long as the larger debate is still at an impasse, passed a one-week continuing resolution mainly to fund the military, the Defense Department, through the end of the fiscal year, the end of September, and also to make sure our troops get paid, which would be part of that same expenditure for the Pentagon. The Senate Democrats will not take it up. The president saying that he will veto it even if it gets to him, saying it's just a distraction, Jim, from the larger debate at hand here. So you've got Harry Reid this morning talking about how his granddaughters won't be able to get medical care if we don't use taxpayer dollars to fund Planned Parenthood. So the demagoguery alive and well, but it looks like the Republicans are standing firm, at least for now.
Yeah, and Greg, I wanted to check on this. And unfortunately, Taliban fighters are still getting paid. I've been hoping there had been some sort of Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Qaddafi government shutdown so that their guys wouldn't get paid either. But no, no, only our side has this kind of issue. I'm really kind of appalled. I understand there are really big issues going on in this government shutdown. This is not over nearly as you know, simple as saying this is petty. No, these are important issues. However, even if you didn't like the provisions on Planned Parenthood, et cetera, I have very little doubt that if you put forward a clean let's fund the government for a week and the Department of Defense for the rest of the year, almost everybody in Capitol Hill would feel obligated to vote for it. Am I taking crazy pills? Does that seem like a wild notion, Greg?
You're probably right. The Republicans would push for another $4 billion in cuts or whatever, but probably you're right around the same line, yeah.
I mean, at the very end, I'd like to think that enough people in both parties don't want to see the troops going without pay until the government, you know, gets reopened. And the fact that Obama issued – well, I can't believe there aren't any red state Democrats in the Senate who are saying, hey, whoa, Harry, come on. I can't stake my reelection on the good name of Planned Parenthood here. I can't say that, you know, let the troops go unpaid so that PBS makes sure that it gets its usual provisions. Obama never issues veto threats. Think of all the crap that he has let go past his, you know, his desk over the years. And this is where he draws his line in the sand? This, you know, I mean – you know, this was the indicator yesterday that the Democrats are hell-bent on having a government shutdown because they're absolutely convinced that they're going to have a big political benefit from this. What's kind of striking from this is if to believe the traditional mainstream media narrative that the Republicans who are being obstinate and all that stuff, that Republicans are absolutely determined to do something that will hurt them politically, and that the Democrats are pulling all of their stops and pulling all-nighters to prevent something that will benefit them politically.
Right.
I don't think – you know, we sometimes laugh at Republicans and call ourselves the stupid party. I don't think they're that stupid. I'm pretty darn sure the Democrats aren't that noble and fair-minded and not willing to take, you know, advantages, et cetera. I think it's entirely clear from their actions who benefits from this or who believes that they benefit from this. It is a frustrating turn of events that you know, we couldn't take care of troop funding before all other matters. It's appalling. And again, this all goes back to the Democrats not passing a budget last year.
And if there is just basic condemnation for all incumbents next year, you have to think that there's one incumbent at the top of the ballot that could end up taking quite a big hit for that, depending on how long it lasts, if it starts at all. So we'll have plenty more to say about that next week, obviously. On to number three now, and it's obviously related to number two. Jim, we keep hearing all these different aspects of what will happen at the government shutdown. Local radio here just wringing their hands at the thought of the National Cherry Festival parade not happening, and I'm sure taxpayers across the country will.
Great news, Greg. That's going forward, one way or the other. Yeah. That is late-breaking news I saw earlier today. So the cherry blossoms are okay, America. Carry on.
Exactly right. But, you know, there's also stories out there that Air Force One, its pilots might not get paid, which would actually, I'm guessing, would force the president to actually stay in town and do his job. I know he hates to do that, but maybe that will actually be a byproduct of this. We'll have to see, I guess, over the next few hours.
Everyone in the military will not get paid starting midnight Friday. And what that means is they're in the middle of a pay period. So they will get paid for this week, but that next paycheck that comes to them will be half the normal total because as of, you know, Friday at midnight, they still are expected to report for duty. They are deemed essential workers. They can't, you know, not show up to, you know, man the guard posts or do anything like that. However, they won't get paid until the government reopens. And, you know, I am doubtful that this will go on for a really long stretch. One of the kind of good news of this scenario is that it's going to end at midnight Friday. So you have about 48 hours before it really affects day-to-day life in America. It'll be frustrating for people who want to go to the Smithsonian this weekend or stuff like that. But again, I just can't believe, you know, as you saw mentioned, they were, the Obama family was supposed to go to Williamsburg. I suppose it's possible that Michelle and the daughters could go and certainly have a good time. I'd like to see Obama working on this through the weekend, since it seems like we're in a pretty important moment here. But yeah, if you flew, the pilots wouldn't get paid. And I guess really nobody on that plane. I guess they'd still be essential. They just wouldn't be able to get paid, would they, Greg?
I think that's right.
Just imagine the service you'd get. Imagine the warm smiles of the crew, knowing that they're, you know, working and not getting paid while the president's doing okay, continuing to live in public housing, continuing to have all of his meals prepared, etc. I hope they don't take it out on him. You know, I hope he doesn't get any extra turbulence if you're trying to nudge him into signing that 1 week extension that would fund the Department of Defense for the rest of the year. But that's just kind of striking and bothersome and unbelievable about this scenario. And
that dovetails right into Maryland Democrat Chris Van Hollen, the guy who got lambasted last year by trying to keep the Democrats in majority in the House. He was on with Andrea Mitchell on Thursday saying, look, there's just too much high tempers here. There's just too much bad language going back and forth. The volatility is just not helpful. We just need to take a couple of days. Everybody calm down. Let cooler heads prevail. And I'm thinking 2 days from now, a couple days from now, we'll be in shutdown. So it's pretty clear that you really want to resolve this thing before we hit the deadline on midnight Friday. But, Jim, I know when this is going to end. It's going to end just in time to save the Cowboy Poetry Festival. I know it.
There
will.
You go. There you go. That's, you know, apparently in his speech on the floor today, of all the government programs that Harry Reid could cite, of everything he could say, you know, obviously, we're, you know, you and I are focused on the military. You could talk about, I hope the FBI is deemed
essential.
Yeah. My understanding is that most of the intelligence community is deemed essential, but not everybody. So I'm hoping nothing, you know, there's no like smuggled nukes in some area we've deemed non-essential. You go down the list, but apparently it was Harry Reid said the Department of the Interior is on pins and needles right now.
Because of national parks potentially closing for a day or two?
I guess, yeah, national park. I guess. You know, I think it was James Pathakakis of Reuters who heard that and just responded, no, over dramatically. I think it was Jonah Goldberg who said, like, look, there's certain departments you could, like, they could be closed for, like, weeks before you would notice. Department right. of Labor and Commerce were early nominees of that one. I just think, you know, think about without DHS – our junk wouldn't get touched, Greg. I mean, you know, who's going to do that during a, you know.
Now fly, America. This
exactly.
is the time.
But run for it. You can get a chance. You can actually have a pleasant flight. No, my understanding is they're probably all deemed essential.
We are not free to move about the country without being molested. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Jim, have a great weekend. We'll figure it all out on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.